Committee on House File 1926 will come to order. I think we all know each other around the table from previous committees, and Representative Kahn should be coming, but we know that there are some members that have things, other commitments later this evening, so our goal here is to try to be done this evening. So, Senator Saxog, any comments or suggestions?
Admirable goal, Mr. Chair, and I concur with it. Let's go. Yeah.
So if we could, the House and Senate versions of House File 1926 are very similar. There are no differences in appropriations. It is primarily language changes. And so traditionally during conference committees, we go over same and similar. If we went through the 30-plus pages of that, that would take us quite a while. So what I would ask is if staff could go through the differences.
Mr. Chair, members, the first difference would
Ms.
be
Taylor.
On page R2. If you look on the Senate side, lines 2.21 through 2.32, there's some additional language regarding a trail. And then on line 3.1, this is the first of, I believe, 14 places where this occurs. You'll see that on the Senate side, it says conservation grazing or haying under a management plan that is already being implemented may continue. And then, Mr. Chair, would you like me to point that out every time it occurs or just sort of make a note that it's...
Mr. Chair, we know
Senator
that there's 13?
14
instances of or haying. So, we'll all concur, I think, with that.
Yeah.
All right. Then skipping ahead, the next difference would be on R18. On the bottom of R18, you'll see in the AIS rider on the House side, starting on line 19.9, the House specifies that it would include pilot projects conducting education and outreach, inspection and decontamination enforcement, and other activities. There's also some additional language on lines 19.17. The required evaluation must evaluate the efficacy of inspection and decontamination activities. And that continues. And then there's also some language on line 19.23. This just clarifies that the appropriation is available until 2019. And it specifies that the accomplishment plan must accelerate the start of the pilot projects. And then, Mr. Chair, the next difference would be on line 20.33 on R20. The Senate specifies that it be otherwise provided by state law, whereas the House has otherwise provided by law on 20.27, and this occurs in one other section. If you look on page R21, line 23.3 on the Senate side. And the next difference would be on the bottom of R26 going on to R27. The House has additional language regarding pollinators, making a reference to the pollinator requirements passed last session that restorations include an appropriate diversity of native species selected to provide habitat for pollinators. Then also on page R27, the House has Section 3, which would require DNR and others that are going to be transferring land to the DNR. It would restrict them from paying more than the county assessed value when they're using legacy funds to acquire land. Then on R28, Section 4, this is another piece of this, it would sort of exempt those types of transactions from the ability to waive appraisals and use another valuation when the value is less than $100,000. Then on R28, there's a Senate-only Section 3. I don't know if Senate staff wants to.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, what that does is basically say that you can't use money appropriate for the Outdoor Heritage Fund to acquire property by eminent domain or private or acquire property that's been previously acquired by eminent domain unless the owner requests that the owner's property be acquired by eminent domain.
Mr. Chair, on R29, there's a House Section 5. This would make the 10th of a percent cap on OH funds being used for restoration evaluations a minimum rather than a maximum. And then Section 6, also on that page, would require DNR approval for acquisitions of an interest in land purchased with the Outdoor Heritage Fund. And then on R30, Section 7, this would require within 10 business days that a recipient purchasing outdoor something with Outdoor Heritage Funds submit the most recent tax assessed value to the council and the commissioner. And then on R30, there's another Senate-only provision.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this is just the same provision, only applied to the Parks and Trails Fund on the eminent domain. So the language reads the same.
And that.
And then, yeah, Mr. Chair, we do have the same on the Carver County on the bottom on R31. So difference.
Senator Saxog, to get us moving here.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd move sections 1 and 2 of the House bill at this time.
Thank you, Senator Saxog. And
26 at
through R26.
Mr. Chair, Senator Saxog, are you including where they removed state law and put and removed the word state before law, including that in there too? I mean, that is a change since 2009. That's the way it's been stated.
Oh. Representative Kahn.
The House version corresponds with what the Constitution says.
Yeah. I just correspond with what the statute says, but that's
well,
all right.
The Constitution trumps the statute.
Yeah. Representative Kahn. Members, we have a motion on the floor. I would like to have one of the differences that's included there is with the Vermilion River project, and there have been some changes since the council made recommendation, which we, I don't know if Mr. Myers here or Mr. Ms. Rivers, I see there's somebody from Dakota County. Mr. Meyer, we have a motion on the floor to adopt the House language from page 1 through
section 1 and 2.
And I'd asked, one of the differences is the Vermilion River project, which there's been a change since the council had made the recommendation. If you could just maybe explain what's happened, I'd like to get that on the record and what's.
Mr. Chair, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about this acquisition. We have been in discussions with Dakota County and are in agreement. Dakota County will be purchasing the land using non-outdoor heritage fund dollars, I believe, where the trail corridor will be. If you think of this piece of property, it will be along the river. I think it's about 60 acres or so is what they will be acquiring, actually, in a linear fashion, not in a block fashion. We are having that parcel appraised, and it will be subdivided, so they will own that land, and it will be separate. The rest of the parcel, as we have discussed with the council, is a mix of a active aggregate site and some uplands as well, and we're working with Semstone on that as they move out of there on the restoration plan. So the intention is we will be purchasing the non-mining lands with the Outdoor Heritage Fund dollars. We will be paying for the mining or the active mining piece of this that will go on for a period of about 10 years. We are paying for that piece of the value of that land with RIM Critical Habitat match dollars. So we aren't having the parcel subdivided, but we are having it appraised for the relative values of those three sections of property. The Dakota County piece will be subdivided legally. That will be a different piece that they will own. We will enter into a cooperative management plan with them, so the state will manage that as a WMA until such time, or hopefully into the future, once the trail is acquired and built. It's the trail corridor, I think, as members know, will not be constructed for probably two decades or more. Once the trail meets both sides, that'll be like the last missing link. So they're working on that, and I think Representative Hansen and Representative McNamara, being from the area, you're familiar with that trail plan that they have there. So the parcel will be appraised for three different sections. The trail corridor that Dakota County will buy, we will be looking at the non-mined piece of the property and the mined piece of the property, adding those values together and basically funding, as I said, the non-mined activities with the Outdoor Heritage Fund, and they will be working their way out of the site on the mined piece. We'll be funding that with other non-Outdoor Heritage Fund dollars.
President McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Meyer, I have a question in regards to the drawing I showed the trail, potential alignment on the trail. Are you only requiring Dakota County to pay for the land between the river and the proposed trail? Will they pay for no minimum buffer? I'll refer to north of the trail because the river is south of the trail, so if it's okay for the committee's purposes, I'll assume north of the trail. Wouldn't it be prudent for the county to pay for a buffer north of the trail? Because I don't believe that's going to be available for the hunting community as it normally would. You must going to have some kind of a, will you have a traditional 500-foot buffer from that trail, or what's your thoughts?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, the trail corridor hasn't been identified yet, and then that's one of the beauties, I'll call it, of this proposal that we've come up with, is that they're going to buy the land and they can site the trail within that. It's something we can work with them on, providing a buffer there. In our discussions with the county as well, they will be managing the trail differently during the hunting seasons. It's our expectation, as other trails within parks are done. So during the turkey season, things like that, for sure during the deer season, the rifle season, that's probably the shotgun area there, it'll be closed down for those days. So we will work with the county to make sure that there's an adequate buffer that will protect the state's interest and the council's interest in the land for its intended purposes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Meyer, I'd like to get on the record then. You said that the trail, I realize the trail may be decades away, and hopefully it's still my wish that the trail be built on the south side of the river where it belongs, that the trail will not be open. It's the DNR's intention in their negotiations with the county to not allow the trail to be open during the gun season. Any gun season, does that include the muzzleloader? But you're not including the archery season. But both gun seasons would be closed, including the muzzleloader?
Commissioner Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, those will be discussions that we will have with the county when we get to that point in time. We want to protect the rights of the citizens of the state to use this property for its intended purposes. So, and I believe Dakota County does as well. So I can't say for sure if it would be for the that would basically run from mid-November through middle of December if you did that. And, you know, in all practicalities, I think there's not going to be a lot of people using the trail for its intended purposes, especially a winter like we just came from, during those months. But it is something that we do recognize we need to work on, and we are having those discussions with the county.
So for the purposes of the motion, the House language doesn't have the council approving the trail because the trail would now be purchased by the county. I see that Mr. Singer with the county is here. Do you have anything to add?
For the record, Al Singer, Land Conservation Manager with Dakota County. As Mr. Meyer has testified, the county and the DNR are in conversations about how the trail would be managed. The county is prepared to close the trail when and if the trail gets constructed, and that's well out into the future, during at least the slug season for deer hunting. We haven't had a specific discussion about muzzleloader season.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Singer, you're going to pay for this 62 acres, which is approximately 500 feet wide, by a mile long. Is it your intention, the county's position, that you're going to want to locate that trail as far north as you can with you paying for no buffer on the north side of the trail?
Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, one of our concerns is to not put the trail close to the river. That was really one of the reasons for coming up with this kind of proposal. So on one hand, we want to try to keep the trail as far from the river as possible to minimize the impact. At the same time, we don't want to acquire more land than is necessary to be able to accomplish that. The river meanders in a lot of different ways, and in some places it's over 1,000 feet away, in some places it's about 150 feet away. We also don't want to have a complicated legal description for public users to not be able to know which ownership is which. And so we're really trying to find that fine line between providing adequate protection for the river, for not infringing on the purposes of the wildlife management area, and reducing the county's acquisition.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the latitude. Mr. Zinger, do you realize, I just want to get on the record here because I appreciate you coming forward with what seems like is probably going to be $1 million of county money to pay for something that you should be paying for. My county should pay for the right to put this trail through this. You realize you are going to pay $1 million of county money to pay for part of a wildlife management area that's going to be managed by the DNR. You've got some understanding about the potential for a trail in the future, but it will be part of a wildlife management area. It will not be a county park.
Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, I'm not sure where you got the $1 million figure from. We don't believe that the 60 acres is valued at the $1 million. We provided the DNR with $1 million for the Miles property, $1 million for the Butler Trust property, all part of the WMA. We do not anticipate that the 60 acres is going to be part of the regional park. There's been no discussions. There have been no plans about that. The county is willing to expend its own funds for this acquisition. There are no state dollars that are going to be involved with this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was just throwing out a ballpark of $1 million. I mean, if it goes for 15 grand, it's $930,000. And arguably, I would think this land's the most valuable because it's closest to the river, but it doesn't have the aggregate potential. Mr. Zinger, are you in agreement that it will be part of a wildlife management area and not a county park?
Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, this will be county-owned land. And so if the county owns it, it will not be part of the state WMA. A state WMA is different than county ownership. And so by using this acquisition process, the WMA will be established north of the land that's going to be owned by Dakota County, as proposed.
And that's why we have the motion with the house, and then the House language, because the trail question becomes moot if the state is not purchasing that property. I think we may want to look at how we recognize the differences in this. And I'll bring that up in a little bit. But are there any other questions relating to the motion?
Mr. Chair, if I understand right, this is different, completely different than what I understood. So you're expecting that part along the river to be county park where the trail is, and it won't be subjected to the same hunting necessarily. Is the DNR going to manage the hunting and fishing on this land?
Mr. Singer.
Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, we have not said that this is going to be a county park. The county has looked at owning land outside of the county park system. This is sort of a new unit within the county conservation protection land process in terms of ownership outside of a trail or a greenway. We have a greenway plan along the Vermilion River. We have not developed any kind of a master plan. There has not been any public participation process of this. But as it stands right now, this would not be included in the WMA. We will have an agreement with the DNR about how this will be managed in terms of hunting and fishing and all kinds of other activities, both in the interim period of time before a trail would be constructed and then when the trail is constructed. But I want to be clear, it's not the county's intention to include this as part of the official WMA, whereby the county is acquiring the land and owning the land within the WMA.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Zinger, I'm going to go back to 2000, I believe, and 5 in the Butler property for $8.7 million when the county got a sweetheart deal when I think the DNR caved. And I thought we were going to end up with the best duck hunting spot to be part of the wildlife management area. It ended up in Whitetail Regional or White, whatever you call it, Whitetail Regional Park today. And you got the best land in that deal that the state fought so hard, and you got it all with state funds. Now, it was never my understanding that this land wasn't going to be a wildlife management area. Now you're telling me the county's going to get control of it. You could end up putting a park on the – I mean, the drawing I saw shows the path on the north edge of the 62 acres. And you're only saying we'll close it during the slug season – so we're not going to get to hunt this land, and we're also going to have to close another 60 acres to the north of it because of a safety issue. Normal line would be 500 feet. 500 feet times a mile long is another 60 acres. Right? Yeah, because this is approximately a 500. Mr. Meyer, I was under the understanding you were going to get to manage this land. Mr. Zinger, you're getting a mile of trail for $1 million or less. That's the most you got, and you should not mess up this land along the river by it being county, and we have nothing in writing. You're only going to pay for 62 acres and potentially affect another 60 because you're saying you can put the trail anywhere on the 62 acres. Mr. Meyer, I don't get why the DNR wants to fold to my county on this deal. You folded when you gave them the best part of Butler, and you ended up with Representative Paulson carried that bill, and it was, I think we caved then, and it seems to me, Mr. Chair, that we're caving again. I don't get why are we letting, it should be part of a wildlife management area. Hopefully the trail will get built on the south where it should, but if you build a trail, you're going to affect a wide area, and you should be paying for that area that you're not going to. That thing was designed to be a wildlife management area, not a regional park with a blacktop trail and families going through with me and my grandchildren going down when somebody's sitting in a deer stand. That's not what it was envisioned when we did this, and I'm trying to understand why we're doing this.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, the DNR and Dakota County have a very good working relationship. We understand that in order to do these types of deals within the metropolitan area, we're going to have to do some of these things. We're going to enter into an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, with the county, and that will protect the state's rights, and it will also show the management opportunities that are there, how we're going to manage this parcel now once the trail is constructed and into the future. I think we can do all of these things that will protect the hunting and fishing on this property and provide for some recreational opportunity as well. I understand your concerns. Frankly, by the time this trail is built, that whole area is going to look completely different as well. I think this will be one of the less of the problems that we'll face as development's going to occur down there. We want to protect the land as much as we can, but and provide opportunity. It's a rare and unique piece of property, but we need to work with the counties. We need to work with not only Dakota County, but every county that's out there as we're acquiring land and try to understand their needs and future growth and development. And it's the success of these dollars is going to rely on working together with our local units of government, not trying to work against them. And I understand your concerns. I think that in our conversations with Dakota County, the Dakota County Commissioners, Administrator, and others, we feel that we are protecting the state's interest and we can do this working together. So,
I'd like to move to the vote.
Yeah. So, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Meyer, I appreciate that, but I just want to get some of this on the record because I am troubled that we, the state of Minnesota, I don't want to get rolled. This money, this wildlife management area and the arguably $20 million or whatever the state of Minnesota committed on the University of Minnesota deal when we originally did this was an expansive wildlife management area with no roads, nothing in it, so inner city kids could go down and be put on one side and have to walk 2 to 3 miles to the other side. No trails, no roads, none of that. Now we're talking about putting a trail through the best part of it potentially, and I just want on the record that I want us to fight very hard for what I think is what this original intention was. And so, Mr. Chair, I'm going to go along, but I'm going to continue to hound the county to honor what this land was originally intended for. It's a fantastic area, and it's really, really, really cool, and I'm glad that you're doing this. But I just wish we weren't giving in so much to the county. Sorry.
Any other questions from members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Motion is adopted. I would like to move a recess for time certain of 1/2 hour. So at 6 o'clock, we will reconvene. And Senator Saxhug, is that okay with it?
That sounds very fine, Mr. Chair.
We are in recess.